This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Support for this public radio podcast comes from KeyBank. Focused knowledge, customized solutions, and the resources of an entire bank. Because the best solutions fit around a business's needs. More at key.com/corporate.
The power of the Dow.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. There was a flurry of buying on Wall Street yesterday. The Dow and the S&P each jumped 2% and set all-time highs, and the rally is rippling around the world. Asian stocks are at three-month highs. The major markets in Europe are up, too. German shares are at record levels, and in Britain, stocks are rallying. David Buick is a money manager with BGC Partners in London. David, were you surprised by the size of yesterday's move here in the U.S.?
The resilience is there for all to see. I think it surprised me, the magnitude of it, by the fact that we still haven't got any real answers on the depth of the subprime mortgage problems, and they are clearly greater than perhaps we know about. But the fact remains at the moment it is about valuation and the number of deals that are coming through on the mergers and acquisition situation, and they are gargantuan, as was expressed yesterday by Rio coming over the top of Alcoa with a huge $40 billion bid for Alcan. And that sets the agenda that, A, there's plenty of money around, and rationalization, they're going to take place in the years to come, and this is what gives stock markets the impetus.
We've seen a lot of weakness in the dollar. Given the run-up that we had on Wall Street yesterday, is it likely that the worst for the dollar is behind us?
No, I think that Ben Bernanke is very, very concerned about the level of inflation. I think we need to get through the second quarter earnings, which start with a vengeance on Monday, to make sure that we do not have a serious problem with subprime mortgages, and the fact that it is under control, and also that the economy is improving the way we think it is.
David Buick of BGC Partners in London, thanks very much for joining us.
Great pleasure.
The Dow jumped 283 points to 13,861, 70 points of that in the last hour of trading. Since mid-July of last year, the Dow is up 29%. The S&P gained 29 points yesterday to 1547, and the Nasdaq hit a six-year high, rising 50 to 2701. The government's releasing a report card today on the well-being of the nation's children. It'll look at everything from poverty and hunger to education and health. Jeremy Hobson has more.
Children account for about a quarter of the U.S. population, 74 million Americans, and 12 million of those kids are classified as food insecure. At last count, about the same number were living in poverty. That means less than $20,000 a year for a family of four.
We have not made the progress in lowering child poverty rate that I think we would like to be making.
That's Julia Isaacs, who focuses on child and family policy at the Brookings Institution. She says these numbers have long-term implications.
30 years from now, you know, these children will be the workers, the citizens, and if children are not living in conditions where they can flourish and do well, it won't be good for the country.
While things aren't getting much worse, they don't seem to be getting better either. Isaacs points out many of the numbers have remained flat for years. In Washington, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
Hundreds of judges and attorneys in Britain are set to abandon a century-old tradition. They're giving up their wigs. It's about modernizing the judiciary and saving money. But as Stephen Beard reports from London, the wig makers are tearing their hair.
Wigs are to be abolished for all judges and attorneys taking part in civil court cases. The government says the headgear is antiquated and costly. A judge's so-called full-bottomed wig costs more than $4,000. Even an attorney's more modest hairpiece sells for almost $1,000. Over the past 3 years, the government has spent more than $1 million on judges' attire. But the decision to drop the wig has upset Stanley Ginsburg. He runs a firm making outfits for judges and lawyers. He says it's an attack on his business and on a fine English tradition.
They'll be taking policemen's helmets off them soon and putting flat caps on them. Crazy. There's an old English saying, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. This wasn't broke, so why try to fix it?
Judges and attorneys in criminal cases will keep their wigs on. Apparently, the wig makes them less recognisable in the street and therefore less vulnerable. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Medtronic Foundation, partnering with Mended Hearts to provide online and hospital support to newly diagnosed heart disease patients. You can learn more at mendedhearts.org. And by Reuters, delivering news and information that reaches over 1 billion people every day. Before it's news, it's Reuters.
Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix is expected to be the top-grossing film this weekend. The movie worked its magic in box offices Wednesday, taking in an estimated $44.25 million. There was a time when movie magic meant putting on the 3D glasses. And as Jill Barshay reports, those days are here again.
Creature from the Black Lagoon, the screen's first underwater 3D thrill.
3D is back. Jeffrey Katzenberg is chief executive of DreamWorks. He says all his studio's movies will be in 3D by the summer of 2009. He thinks it's obvious why big studios would gamble on a 1950s fad.
Why would you go to color from black and white? 3D is better. It's a better quality experience. If you can innovate your business and give your consumer a better experience and a better product, and they're prepared to pay you a premium for it, why not?
The technology has grown up a lot since the 1950s. Remember those blue and red cardboard glasses? New computer tools let filmmakers fill the space between you and the screen with realistic interiors and landscapes. You still have to wear the nerdy glasses. These ones are plastic. 11-year-old Zach Mall left his computer and video games at home to go see the latest 3D movie, Meet the Robinsons.
You were able to sort of be interactive with it like you'd have Lewis come out of the screen and be with you, so it was really cool.
Zach said he felt dizzy afterwards, but he couldn't wait to see another one. Walt Disney made Meet the Robinsons, and like many big studios, it's investing tens of millions of dollars in the new technology. 3D movies cost about 10% more to make. Jason Squire is a professor of film business at the University of Southern California. He was at the same cinema as Zach. He says he's skeptical about 3D.
It's a very risky thing, and something that may take hold for just a few movies.
It seems to have taken hold of Hollywood. Studio executives reckon 50% of Hollywood's fare will be made in 3D in the next 5 years. Moviegoers seem willing to give 3D a try. They're already forking out $2 more a ticket to watch a 3D flick. In Los Angeles, I'm Jill Barshay for Marketplace.
And I'm Doug Krisner. Make it a good day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.